Hey, good afternoon. I have about a little over a half hour, 35 minutes before a Megillah reading. So I want to learn something together. Not giving a shiur with lots of Makoros flying from different directions, but I want to learn a Gemara together. And the question that we're going to explore is something that may seem to be a little bit academic in nature. You might wonder like what the practical implication of it is, what does this all mean? But it really actually, it's not just a discussion, it's not a historical discussion, it's not just another discussion, but it really gets to the heart of what Purim is about. We were to think about the criteria of what's to be included in Tanakh, so we would assume that there should be some connection to something that is divine. There should be some form of Hashem's involvement. So obviously, the Torah, Chamishei Chumshei Torah, was given from Hashem. So that obviously is part of the canon, doesn't need to be discussed. The Nevi'im had that direct nevuah, they had that direct connection. Again, not really much of a question whether those works are to be included in Tanakh. But then when you get to Ketuvim, it's a little bit more difficult. Maybe in some cases, the author proves the belonging of a Sefer. So under the assumption that Tehillim is David HaMelech and Mishlei Shlomo, etc. So maybe that gives a sense that it belongs. Zivar Hayamim is chronicling the history of Klal Yisrael. Perhaps it's valuable. But certain books are not so obvious. One that was left out, obviously, is Sefer Makkabim. So Chazal chose not to include that. The discussion for that is not the time. But there's a statement in Maseches Megillah, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So this is Shmuel talking here. Esther Ina Metama Esayidayim. If one touches the in Megillah, one touches the scroll of Esther, it does not make one's hands impure. So where does this come from? This means that Esther seems to be excluded in some way. It's not entirely holy. It's not one of the Kisvei HaKodesh, not included in Tanakh, whatever that means. So what does a scroll being part of Kisvei HaKodesh have to do with making hands impure? So the Mishnah in Shabbos discusses how Beis Shammai. There was one day where there was more of Beis Shammai than Beis Hillel. They made 18 different gzeros that they wanted to make. Most of them had to do with Tuman Tahara. And Beis Shammai decreed that Kisvei Kodesh make hands impure, which is ironic because you would think that, if anything, having contact with something that's of Kedusha should make you more pure. What does it have to do with impurity? So the story goes as follows, that people would keep their Kisvei Kodesh with Truma. Truma, you're not allowed to have coins, not allowed Truma when they're impure. Perhaps the thinking was that if you keep the Truma and the Kisvei Kodesh together, so you'd be careful about the Kisvei Kodesh, you'd be careful about the Truma. So it would be worthwhile. But what was happening was that if mice or rats, whatever it was, the Akhbarim would come and they would start partaking from the Truma, and then they would mess up the Kisvei HaKodesh, they would eat away at it, they would do whatever were to happen to it. So that became a problem. So at that point, they declared that Kisvei HaKodesh make the hands impure, the Matamis Hayadayim, so that you would not keep the Kisvei HaKodesh near the Truma to protect it from the mice. Okay, so the Gemara goes on to say, is this to say that Esther was not sad with Ruach HaKodesh? It's not part of the Kisvei HaKodesh. It's not of divine inspiration. Is that true? The Hamar Shmuel, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. Shmuel has an explicit statement that Esther is sad by Ruach HaKodesh, and we're going to explore Shmuel's statement a little more in the near future. So the Gemara answers, Nemra Likros Velo Nemra Lichtov. It was given over Ruach HaKodesh to be said by heart, but not to be said from, but it wasn't given through Ruach HaKodesh to be written down and to be included in Tanakh. So what is that about? So one possibility of what this is about, I saw this in the footnotes in the Art Scroll. I don't remember who they were quoting here, but what this might be about is that if you read a story like Esther from a scroll, and it doesn't mention Hashem's name, you read it from a scroll, it seems to be a story. So people might just think, okay, it's a nice story, it's a nice record of history. But if you tell it, if it's told orally, so then it becomes part of a Masorah, it contains something deeper, much holier. So if anything, the fact that perhaps it would be oral would be considered to be of greater, would give greater significance to Miguel's Esther. So that's not ultimately the way the Gemara goes, but that's a potential Havamina. Okay? So it's interesting. So I'm not going to go through all these, but the Gemara gives then goes through different Megillas, whether they are Metamis Yadayim and therefore are Kisvei HaKodesh or whether they're not. And it's interesting that these are all the Megillas, right? Which all have sort of their discussions. To what extent is Hashem present in these writings, the Shir HaShirim, mere poetry, or is it something holier? Again, obviously, they're included in Tanakh. We have something holier. But Chazal kind of grappled with this a little bit. I'm not going to go into that right at this moment. But the Gemara goes on to discuss, to prove how Esther might have been said Beruach HaKodesh. How is Esther said Beruach HaKodesh? So there's a bright Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. Esther was said with Beruach HaKodesh. And how do you know that? Shenemar, Vayomer Haman Belibo. Haman said to himself. So the context of this, and this is good Chazara for the Megillah that we're about to read. So the context of this is Achashverosh summons Haman in the middle of the night. So Haman, of course, loves being the center of attention. And he gets up and he goes and he dutifully shows up. And Achashverosh says, how would you honor somebody who deserves to be honored to the nth degree? And Haman, being the egoist that he is, his ego starts from the moment that Mordechai doesn't give him the attention, doesn't bow down. So Haman is that egocentric thinker, and he immediately thinks, who else would the king be talking about besides me? Who else would Achashverosh want to honor besides me? But the Megillah says, Vayomer Haman Belibo. The question is, how did Haman know? How did the writers in the Megillah, how did Mordechai and Esther know that what Haman was thinking to himself? If he said to himself, so it wasn't anybody who heard it. So how did the Kosher Megillah know? It must be that Megillah's Esther is written by Ruach HaKodesh. That is a proof of Rabbi Eliezer. Then the Gemara goes on, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Namra, different proof that Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Shenamra vadihi Esther gnosis chen be'inei kol ra'aha. Esther attracted the favor of everybody who saw her. Whether it was just a mere grace, if they noticed that she was beautiful. So the Gemara is wondering here, how could the writers of Megillah know what everybody thought about Esther, if not for the fact that Hashem revealed it, that Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. Then we go on Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemar Shenemar. Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh, as it is said, Yivada HaDavar LeMordechai. So again, the context here is that you have these two individuals named Bigtan and Teresh, and they are plotting to assassinate the king. Plotting to do treason. And it says it was known to Mordechai. So how did Mordechai find out? It doesn't say that anybody told him. So perhaps it's Ruach HaKodesh. And finally, Rabbi Yossi ben Dormeskid Omer. Rabbi Yossi ben Dormeskid says, Esther Beruach HaKodesh Namra, Shenamar, Uvabiza lo shalchot yadam. So after it happens, Haman and his sons are hung. So at that point, also Achashverosh decreed that the Jews were allowed to defend themselves, because maybe the people either got caught up once Haman decreed it, there was no walking it back, or they weren't going to find out. So the Jews were allowed to take arms to defend themselves. And normally in war, if you win a war, so you get to take the spoils, you win, you've defeated the enemy, you get to take everything. But this was a war of self-defense. This was not meant for Jews to become greedy, to become rich. They were just trying to defend themselves. So they did not take the spoils. So here also, the Gemara wonders, how else could the writers of the Megillah, how else could Mordechai and Esther know that nobody took spoils if not for Ruach HaKodesh? But they didn't have security cameras everywhere. How could they possibly know that if not for Ruach HaKodesh? So this is what the Baraita says. And then comes Shmuel. By the way, and Shmuel is the one that was quoted before as saying that Esther perhaps is Mitame Yadayim. And maybe he thought that Esther was given by Ruach HaKodesh to be said orally but not be written. But be it as it may, Shmuel himself says that Esther was said with Ruach HaKodesh. Esther Ruach HaKodesh Ne'emar. He said, Yihavai Hasam. If I was there, if I was one of the Tanaim, because everything we had right now is from the period of the Tanaim. Shmuel's not in the Baraisa. He comes later. So if I was there, Hava Amina Milsa Dadifa Mikulu, I would have given an even better proof. Shenemar Kimu Vekiblu. So the Torah, sorry, not the Torah, the Megillah says, let's get the Pasuk. Kimu Vekiblu Hayudim Alehem Velzaran Vekol Nibim Alehem Veloya Vorlios Osim Shne Hamim Ha'eokim Zavam Vechizmanam Vechol Shana Veshana. The Jews accepted upon themselves and their descendants and everybody with them that everything related to Purim they will do every single year. They're not going to pass it up. They're not going to let it go. Every single year as it is written. So that's what the pshat of the pasuk here is. And it sounds like Kimu Vekiblu is just saying that they establish and accept it. But Chazal read into this Kimu Vekiblu. One example of this comes up in the Gemara and Shabbos, where it says that that Hashem picked up Har Sinai as a vat and coerced Klal Yisrael into accepting the Torah. But here at Purim, Kimu Vekiblu, they accepted it by choice. But here we're saying Kimu Vekiblu. What's the significance of it? Kimu Lemala Ma Shekiblu Lemata. They accepted above that which was accepted beneath, meaning that the Jewish people established Purim. Jewish people established Purim. So how do they have the right to create a holiday? How do we know that Hashem desires it? How do we know that there are mitzvahs to do? How do we know that that this is acceptable? In fact, if you're going to, their opinion said it is divrei, that there's one opinion, and they're showing him that Purim is deraisa. Other opinions that's divrei Kabbalah of a greater stature. So that's serious business. So how do we know that Purim was acceptable to establish as a holiday? Kimu Lamala, they affirmed up in Shemayim that which was done on earth. And how could, so then the Gemara, so Shmuel's point is, how could Esther Mordechai know that Purim was accepted in Shemayim, if not for Ruach HaKodesh? So what we have so far are proofs that Esther is written with Ruach HaKodesh, because there are things in the Megillah, and they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. We don't know it, except, I mean, Shmuel seems to not like the other answers. We don't necessarily know that Tanaim are arguing with each other or if they're giving additional proofs. But we have these hints that despite the fact that God's name is not in the Megillah, and there's no indication of God's role in the Purim story, from the text itself, you can extrapolate the idea potentially that Esther was in fact with Ruach HaKodesh, that there was Hashem was aware of what was going on and passed it on to Mordechai and Esther. Then the Gemara goes on. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Lehuhu it lehu pircha levard midishmuel delately pircha." So all of these proofs have a problem, except for the proof of Shmuel, meaning that the Tanaim come and say, I have these really good proofs that Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. And Rava says, no, these are not necessarily great proofs. Shmuel has a good proof. The other ones don't necessarily have a good proof. So Rabbi Eliezer Svarahu. So Rabbi Eliezer's point, Rabbi Eliezer said, was the one who said that Haman said to himself, who would the king want to honor besides me? So how do we know that, how do we know what Haman said to himself? So Rabbi says, no, that's logical. That's as far. We know how we can know what Haman said to himself. There was nobody who was more important to the king than Haman. So, and as he's elaborating and saying, well, the king should ride him on a horse and dress him in the royal garb. So obviously he's thinking to himself that he's the most important person. So it's not so crazy that even if the language of Megillah is Vayomer Haman Belibo, so it's not so crazy to think that perhaps, that the writers of Megillah could figure out what Haman was saying to himself or thinking to himself. So the next proof that of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that everybody saw that Esther was no seichein, that everybody thought that she was favorable. So how, as she was being presented to Achashverosh, so how did the writers of Megillah know that? So perhaps Dilma ki Rabbi Elazar de Amar Melamish kol echad echad nimasa lo ki humasa. Right, we kind of experience this all the time, right? When we see somebody who is a Nobel Prize winner, so we're like, so and they're Jewish, so we're very quick to point out that so and so is Jewish, right? Sometimes a little bit to Eliana and I talk about this. Sometimes a little bit to our chagrin, the Jewish news agencies have to every time that there's somebody Jewish involved in something going around the world, they have to present all the Jewish angles about it. And sometimes it feels like a little bit extra, especially if it has nothing to do with Judaism per se. But the point is that people, you know, they feel extra pride. They feel extra pride when they see somebody who is of respect and admiration that is part of their nation. And given that we don't really know, people didn't really know who Esther was. What was her deal? So everybody tried to associate with her. And people were saying out loud, right, that she's from one of us. Right? They didn't necessarily know that, but they just wanted to say it because it made them feel extra special. So perhaps people were expressing that that's how the writers of Megillah know what people thought of Esther. Fine. Bad Rabbi Meir Dilma ki Rabbi Chiya bar Abba de Amar Bigtan v'ter shnei tarsiyim hayu. So perhaps Rabbi Meir, who says that the way we know Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh is because it was known to Mordechai what Bigtan and Teresh were plotting. So how is it known? So perhaps, says Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, we know because Bigtan and Teresh were Tarsi, and they were from the Tarsi nation. They spoke the Tarsi language. And I was telling this to my students when I was learning this Gemara with them, that if you're ever in public and you're with somebody who speaks Hebrew and you want to say something that you don't want everybody else to hear, so how are you going to say it? You say it in Hebrew, or maybe for some people who speak Yiddish better than I do, maybe you say it in Yiddish. So same thing, Bigtan and Teresh. Bigtan and Teresh think that they're the only two Tarsi people, and how could anybody else possibly possibly know what's going on? Except Mordechai was a great chacham, he was a member of Sanhedrin. To be part of Sanhedrin, you have to speak 70 languages. So Mordechai knew Tarsi, so that's how it was known to him. So that's not so difficult. So this isn't to say that Esther is certainly not Ruach HaKodesh, but it's not good proof. It's not good proof. And finally, Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaski Dilma Pristake Shadur. So Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaski was the one who said that we know that Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh because they didn't take any spoils, and how could the writers of Megillah know that they didn't take any spoils? So the answer to that is that they sent messengers. They didn't have security cameras, but word was sent from all the different places where the Jews were defending themselves, and word was sent, you know, that everybody was very careful not to take any of the spoils. So then the Gemara says at this point, the Shmuel of Adai Leisle Pircha, but Shmuel's point is certainly proves that Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh, the fact that Purim was accepted in Shemayim, and there's no way to contradict that. Here's this again, the Pasuk doesn't necessarily lend to that point, but the concept of it is certainly there. Kimu lamala mashi kibu lamata. There's nothing you can really say to that. So Shmuel has no, there's no questions on Shmuel's approach. And then the Gemara says, "Name Ravina, Amar Ravina, Haida de Amre Inche, Tavachada Pilpata Charifta, Mimle Tsane Kare." One sharp pepper is much better than a basketful of pumpkins. So what on earth is that about? So pumpkins, apparently, I don't really know this myself. I had to do a lot of research to figure this out. Pumpkins apparently aren't, you know, don't have so strong of a taste. So you could have a whole bunch of pumpkins in a basket, it's not, still not going to give a lot of taste. One pepper is, especially if it's a red hot chili pepper, one red hot chili pepper is enough to set your mouth on fire. So saying that Shmuel, that one individual, one Shmuel, one good answer is better than a bunch of different answers that are okay, but maybe not so strong. Fine. So it seems like Shmuel's proof wins the day that Esther's written with Ruach HaKodesh. But then the Gemara goes on and gives two other proofs. And I think these proofs are extremely powerful. Rav Yosef Amar Mehacha. Rav Yosef says, no, it comes from here. Zichram lo, v'imei Purim ha'ela lo yavru mitoch ha'yehudim. These days of Purim will not pass from the Jews. They will never cease to be celebrated among the Jews. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak omer mehacha v'zichram lo yasuf bizaram, that the memory of them shall not perish among their descendants. So these are actually two parts of the same. These are two parts of the same pasuk, and they both really express a similar idea that Purim is a holiday that was going to be celebrated forever. The writers of Megillah apparently were able to predict in the future that Purim should never stop to be celebrated. It will always be around. Jews will always be celebrating Purim. And that's proof that Esther is written with Ruach HaKodesh. Because if not for saying it's Ruach HaKodesh, so how could Esther and Mordechai possibly know that Purim would be celebrated forever? How did they know that another Haman wouldn't come up and try to destroy the Jewish people? Or how did they know that assimilation wouldn't take the day and Purim would stop to be celebrated? So it must be that Esther is written with Ruach HaKodesh for that reason. And I think this is actually a very important and powerful insight, because if anything, it's ironic, because the whole point of this Purim story is the attempted genocide of the Jewish people. And the truth is, we never really know what's going to be in the future. We never know who's going to be the next one who's going to come up and try to destroy us. And the power of the Megillah being Beruach HaKodesh is that the fact that Hashem is not expressly there in the story, Hashem's not there in the story, we don't see God's name, and yet he was able to save the Jewish people that way. And what we're getting at in the Megillah, through it being Ruach HaKodesh, is Hashem sending us a subliminal message as well. That, namely, Purim will be celebrated forever. The holiday that marks the Jewish people's salvation will always be celebrated. And thereby, God is telling us the Jewish people will always be around. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. The Jewish people will always be around. So the concept of Esther being written by Ruach HaKodesh at that point is not just about looking at some anomaly and trying to figure out how the writers of the Megillah know that, but it's actually coming to give us a very powerful message of Hashem's hidden role in the world, but the fact that Hashem is always there, and even when it seems like somebody really powerful is going to come up and going to try to knock us down, going to try to destroy us, Hashem seems to be giving us a message that has endured to this day after everything that's experienced through Galus to this point, that Hashem is always there guiding behind the scenes, even if it's behest or panim. Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra, Hashem is giving us this message through the Megillah that the Jewish people are always going to be there. V'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. The memory of Purim will never perish. The Jewish people will always be here to celebrate Purim. We will always be the ones here to talk about our defeating our enemies, not the other way around. Dr. Israel Rosenson notes that what's going on here related is that, you know, it's normal in literature to portray a certain level of omniscience, right? You read a novel and the writer is telling you what's going on. But the point is that the Megillah is about the hidden, about the hidden. The whole point of the Megillah is about the hidden. And again, as you know, God not necessarily being expressly present, but being in the background, but Ruach HaKodesh is meant to reveal God's presence. And even when you look at the different proofs that were given, the Esther's written by Ruach HaKodesh, all those events on their own would be entirely insignificant. Right? What Haman says to himself and his own ego should be of entire insignificance. What people think of the grace and beauty of a woman shouldn't really matter. The fact that people don't take spoils, it's a nice thing. It shouldn't really matter. But the point here is that Ruach HaKodesh comes to reveal that seemingly insignificant events are actually more significant, that they add up the details to a story, they add up to the story of the Jewish people, that minor events can alter the course of history, and it's Hashem who's behind all of that. And this comes to demonstrate that Ruach HaKodesh, it's with Ruach HaKodesh, it's with a certain keen insight that gives the maturity to understand how events develop through Yad Hashem. So as we celebrate Purim, we look at the Megillah and we see God is absent. So we can think about that the major message here is that when we read this Megillah, Esther, the story of Esther is Ruach HaKodesh. It's something that, you know, within the event itself was a miraculous event, but it's also guiding us towards the future of understanding God's role in the world, however hidden, but something that's not just about the story, and it's not just about the scroll, and it's not just about that particular time period, but it's about what we are presented with in the future. Purim Sameach.